We must be supported.
Mental health for all.
No need to be scorning.
Mental health for all.
Learn how to approach this.
Mental health for all.
Be friend or family.
It's mental health. Mental health for all. It's mental health. Mental health for all.
Ha!
It's mental health. Mental health for all. It's mental health. Mental health for all.
A message from the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital in association with the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Barbados.
And we continue with our chat. It's all about prioritizing mental health in the workplace. Joining me this week is Ryan Lewis. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Carol. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I am well too. Tired but grateful. I've been having a very active October in creating awareness for MedHealth activities under the same theme you just mentioned. And just Sunday, a few days ago, we just had our MedHealth Fun Walk and Run and City Concert. We had over 1,000 to 1,500 persons on the road supporting actively mental health. And we took from Carrollton all the way down to Golden Square Freedom Park, where we culminated and had a concert. I'm sure. Were you there, Carol?
I was just thinking, how did I miss that
one?
Because
I like walking. Well, yeah, but definitely we had some good entertainment with the Lights of Blood, Mikey, Biggie Irie, Alan Shepard was there, Nikita, Morrisville, Stiffy, and a whole lot of cast that just came through to lend their voices, their talents in support of mental health awareness.
Mental health awareness, workplace. And you mentioned artists, and that's a different workspace when you think about it, and the pressures of performing and the pressures of producing. So we're going to talk a lot about leadership roles in promoting mental health. So why is leadership crucial in creating a mentally healthy workplace? Either your physical four walls, or as I said, like entertainers, they have to take on their own leadership roles, though.
Exactly. So let's say that leadership is basically the cornerstone of a mentally healthy workplace or any business. It should be. Because leaders have the power to shape policies. They influence the behavior and they establish what is priority, what should go first and what should come after. So when leaders prioritize mental health in the workplace, it signals to employees that, you know what, that their mental well-being matters. So this commitment then will lead to a more engaged workforce where they understand that their self as a whole being can come to work, and they can seek balance in their personal and professional lives. And moreover, leaders in some ways are role models, because your workforce look up to your bosses. Sometimes you may have good ones, sometimes you may have bad ones. And just how they shape that workplace culture based on their understanding and value systems surrounding mental health would then trickle down to the workforce. So if I am the leader and I'm saying, yeah, we're going to value mental health, likewise, they're going to value mental health. If I don't, what's going to happen is that the workforce is going to feel isolated. They're going to feel not understood. They're going to feel vindicated or discriminated against just because they're struggling with a mental health. I know what's going to happen. They're not going to come forward. They're going to isolate themselves. They're going to suffer in silence. And who's going to lose out? The person, the business, the leader, and everybody loses.
Oh, wow. All right, so how can leaders model positive mental health behaviors and influence their company's culture?
Well, let's start with transparency. So you spoke to Robert, I think, a couple weeks ago, and he was able to share his life story. So we need to, Carol, normalize the conversations surrounding mental health. For far too long, it's been taboo, and persons are whispering in quiet corners, suffering in silence. So when we openly speak about mental health and mental health issues and get vulnerable, you're actually creating strength that really fosters trust, encourages persons to share their experiences without the fear of judgment. We can also look at self-care practices. So leaders who practice self-care, whether it's taking breaks or attending to therapy or participating in wellness activities, this demonstrates that prioritizing mental health is essential and sets the precedent that self-care is not just acceptable, but should be encouraged. And then you want, like we spoke speaking about just before the start of the this session, is that we need to encourage balance. And
leaders can advocate.
It's so hard, but it is necessary. And it we have to see it as a necessity and not just as a luxury that, you know, when you can get it, get it. No, we need to make time actively for it. Otherwise, our bodies, our minds are going to tap out and take that break because it can no longer go on. It needs to rest. So break and rest is necessary just to break that monotony because stress levels need to be like a peak and valley. Yeah, you work towards a project, you work towards a season, and then you have to have a lull where you have time to reset, recharge, refocus, rejuvenate, and then go for that next task that you are setting out to achieve.
Let me go back to the conversation with Robert. Obviously, you were not here,
right?
But Robert was talking about, you know, especially where his work was concerned, he was considered like Superman.
Exactly. And I remember those words.
Get it done. Nothing could get in your way. If your boss then, or the leader, I hate to use the word boss because it has some negative connotations.
Yes, it
really does. Leadership is completely different to a leader is different to a boss. But if you're the leader of your organization, your group, your team, if that person feels that kind of pressure as well, you know, how are they really able to model some of this behavior? Because you're talking about transparency and you're talking about taking breaks. But if you have that person who feels the weight of an organization to produce and to be always on the go and to be in every meeting and on every call and yeah, go team, and they're burnt out as well.
Yeah, they're burnt out and they're probably not even themselves recognizing it. And that's why awareness workshops, seminars, mental health literacy and training is so pivotal and necessary. Because sometimes persons are just so geared in doing things a particular way that they don't understand something, the negative impact that it has on their lives. So if you're always in high gear, there are some consequences that are going on. You're probably losing out on some family life, some special moments, going to your kids' football game or swim meet. You're probably losing out. So if you're going to be just career focused, there has to be at a consequence of something else. And what that is, it has to be just as meaningful as what is your focus in your work life. So that's why we need to assert balance. And you want to thrive at work. You want to be top tier. You want to leave a legacy. But you also want to leave a legacy in your personal lives. How do you want your children to remember you? How do you want your spouse to remember you as? How do you want persons in your nearby communities to remember you as just a workaholic or somebody that found equal amount of time to invest in personal time and values and those other little meaningful things that cost nothing but are more valuable than dollars and cents?
Okay. So what actions can leaders take to foster that communication, open communication, about mental health?
So regular check-ins. A simple, Carol, hi, how are you doing? How are you coping today? Can I help you with anything? Are you meeting the deadlines? Are you having any challenges? Just doing some check-ins to ask, just to convey to persons, you know what, I'm still here with you. Yeah, I expect you to meet this deadline. I expect you to produce this at the end of the month. But at the same time, how are you managing? Do you have all that you need to reach it? Is something troubling you? Or is something challenging you? Do you need some time off? Mental health training, knowing signs and symptoms of basic things, not to diagnose per se, but to recognize if Carol is deviating from her norm. Carol is usually a punctual, timely, result-oriented person. So if it starts seeing deviations in the opposite, where she's getting to work late, extremely late, or she's looking a bit disheveled at work because she's not well composed as she's accustomed, I start to see those signs, then it really does open the conversation for those regular check-ins. And then that works in tandem with the check-ins to avert those things from actually occurring in the first instance. Of course, creating safe spaces. Leadership goes back to creating safe spaces because if I am going to be a champion for mental health, then person's going to feel confident coming and saying, I'm having this particular issue. It's because they know that more than likely their boss, their supervisor, or their leader are going to understand what they're going through and they can convey empathy. They may not understand it in full and they can actually path, create a pathway where they make sure that their workforce remains mentally healthy and refer them to other organizations. It may not be the psychiatric hospital. It could be a private entity. It could be bringing in a psychologist or a life coach to come and speak with them, to encourage them, to shed some light. And this really establishes the trust and camaraderie between management and the workforce. Because for far too long, sometimes we have this generation, this cultural gap that is management are better than them and workforce are less of them.
Yeah.
So we need to realize that equally we are still human beings. We have other functions in life as a parent, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a father. And we're going to go through transient periods where our personal lives may have to take center stage for a period. So, I mean, it's about encouraging that and then encouraging it through feedback systems. When you're doing your annual assessments of your business, take time to understand how your employees are also faring. So don't just say, oh yeah, we've been successful in getting all of these profits, but to what extent has it impacted your workforce?
Mm.
Has it impacted on punctuality, absenteeism, turnover rates? Also assess that in terms of your means of productivity as well and profitability.
And sometimes when you find that, not in every case, but there are lots of cases where people have had to go all out to meet targets and goals, especially where you talk about sales and things like that. And it would probably have taken a toll on the team.
Yeah.
They reached the target. Nobody understood the tragedies that were happening behind the scenes in the hot mess situations. But then they raised the target. So you have to work almost twice as hard to reach another target that you barely met the last time. Yeah. All right, final question before we go. What does consistent leadership support, or how does it support and that support transform the mental health culture of a company?
So trust, something that we cannot ignore. So when leaders consistently advocate for mental health, it builds trust, and thereby the employees feel valued, they feel understood, which then will foster loyalty and engagement, and will counteract that absenteeism or punctuality and turnover rates that we just spoke about. It also shifts the culture in creating new cultural norms, where regular enforcement of mental health as a priority can shift the company culture, and over time, this becomes the norm for employees to discuss mental health openly and leading to a more inclusive environment. And obviously, proactive approach, consistent support will lead to proactive measures rather than being reactive ones. So leaders, because of having a mentally healthy workplace, you allow innovation and strategy to emerge without even having to whip it, so to speak. It comes out naturally. And then sustainability. And when we have mental health support embedded into leadership styles and company values, it becomes sustainable and creates long-term commitment to mental health that transcends a single initiative and ensuring that mental health remains a priority in the workplace and, of course, beyond that workplace as well.
Okay. Well, always a fantastic conversation with you. And I tell you, mental health in the workplace is serious. A lot of people seem to struggle because that's where you spend a lot of your time. You have bills to pay.
Yeah, exactly. And not just a lot of time, but a lot of wait hours. Because we're there at some things, you know, your kids are at school. You are there like 8 to 4, 9 to 5. So by the time you get home, it's usually a shower, get some homework done, get some last minute things done, and get ready for bed. Mm-hmm. So you may spend more hours at home, but are they actually waked hours because you're going to go sleep? So thank you for having me again, Carol. And it's always, like you say, a joy having this conversation about mental health.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Have a great day. The last 15 minutes brought to you in association with the Psychiatric Hospital.
Mental health for me. Mental health for you. Come on, everybody, let your love shine through. Whether you're a family member, a friend or a stranger, everyone, everywhere, let kindness matter. Let kindness matter. Matter, matter. Let kindness matter. Mental health.
A message from the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital in association with the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Barbados.